Welcome in State Senator Mike Groney. Senator Groney joining us for the first time since the session adjourned. Was that 2 weeks ago, Senator Groney? It's been 2 weeks now, right?
A week and a half or so.
Okay. Before we dive into the session recap, Senator, let's talk about a few bills that the governor vetoed last Monday. And there were several bills that did make it through the session and that did pass by you and your colleagues, but the governor vetoed them last Monday, I believe it was.
Yes, I had my list in front of me. That's what I was going to tell you.
I see you brought your homework into the studio.
Too many numbers. You got to remember there's about 1,000 numbers of bills that are introduced, so if you expect me to memorize those numbers, I'm not.
That's impossible. Yeah. I don't think anybody can memorize those.
So, yeah, he did a good job. I encouraged him to do it, and there was about 15 senators that voted no on all of these, so... But he did a good job. The first, I can go through them.
Did you vote no on all of those that were vetoed, Senator?
Yes, I did. Okay. They're just big government. Let me go through them real quick.
Sure.
LB 607 was the manicure and pedicure business regulations. They were, well, we have a lot of problems in government, and it follows the campaign donation money, is occupational protectionism, where once you have it, you don't want anybody else to get into your business, so that you don't have to compete on a fair market price. So the Association of Senator Pedicures and stuff brought a bill to Senator Coldeman where they were going to license these folks who usually they're people of Asian descent, Vietnamese, and who come in and open these shops, and all they're doing is doing fingernails, cutting your toenails, cutting your fingernails, and putting polish on them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they put such a... This bill put such a barrier on them that they'd never be able to open a business. So, you know, and they claim two people died because of it, not in Nebraska, and you don't even know, they didn't even claim if they got, you know, they got MRSA or one of these staph infections that was even not in a licensed facility in another state. So the governor vetoed it. It was bad. I wouldn't mind having them get a license, like a restaurant does. You get a license, then have an inspector coming around, make sure their water is clean and their place is clean.
Yeah.
That's what we do at restaurants, but we don't make the short order cook take a bunch of go to Mid Plains Community College and get a degree, do we? I mean, those two, front end and back end, you get a license, and we know he exists, and then somebody from HHS. But this was overbearing. This was
too much.
Simple. Occupational protectionism.
Just like your equine massage.
Yeah, well, same thing. What the veterinarians were doing, trying to protect something they weren't doing themselves, and in fact, there wasn't any service then. But then LB 238 was Patty Paynes and Brooks, my favorite senator. but anyway,
you're a good friend.
I wouldn't say that. She hates the debt penalty, which the left does, and how they succeed in things is to incrementally attack something. You know,
right.
If they failed miserably with trying to cost the people a lot of grief to do a petition drive where they were going to have witnesses, certain witnesses come in and witness the execution while they were going to be chosen by, you know, by them. So you're going to have somebody who hates the debt penalty go and watch it and then come back and tell the liberal press how awful it was. It was unnecessary. We already have official witnesses, and there's people we assign in government to carry out the debt penalty. They didn't. They do their job. They don't need to have witnesses. They're seeing their face and then broadcasting it all over who the people were. It's shaming them, and it was a plan attack on the debt penalty. So the governor vetoed that. And then LB 515, that came out of my committee, and sadly I let it out of my education committee. It was by Senator Vargas to, it looked good, that kids who were expelled from school, suspended from school because of behavior, and you know, it takes pretty bad behavior to be expelled.
Yeah.
Bringing drugs to school, causing hurt and harming somebody else.
Or something that's numerous offenses.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be pretty bad. Well, that they would be able to do their homework and not fall behind.
Mm-hmm.
Well, found out later, most schools do that now. But the thing bad about it was they were going to set up this tribunal where the kid's parents got to choose the judge, and if the kid was suspended, then they had to go in front of this judge. Couldn't be appointed. Right now it's appointed by one person in the school system is assigned to handle those when the parents want to talk about.
Right.
That they've got to pick their judge. And And they could claim, well, they're not the right race, not the right sex, they'd be biased against me. And then that tribunal would decide if the school was correct in suspending them. Well, the second part of that also was that they said that after expulsion and the school has a chance to look at the fence and then the police get involved and stuff, they can say, no, now you're expelled, you're kicked out of school. You're violent, you're going to harm somebody. We found out other things you were doing. Your attitude is just, you're out.
Mm-hmm.
His bill said, no, the school had to take that kid back and let him come back and be a danger to the other kids. They could not say, no, you're expelled.
Not just a danger, but a disruption, too.
Well, yeah. You decided you don't want an education. You're 17 years old. You want to go on to your career in crime. Well, get out of here and go do it so we can get you in the state pen as quick as possible. But anyway, that's sarcasm. LB 1004, it was the late trip parole bill. I think as a state senator, your first, as far as corrections, your first duty is to protect the public. These bills that are coming out of the Judiciary Committee are trying to get down the population of state pen. So they were going to certain crimes you could get paroled after you served half your time. I mean, it was less.
Ask California and New York how that's working out.
Well, they're getting a lot of statues pulled down and stuff by these folks that should be in jail. But the thing my local sheriff and the state patrol, my local sheriff mainly, and the police have told me, we made all these changes that to sentencing mainly so we don't fill up the state pen. And what's happened is now they're arresting these people every 6 months instead of every 3 years, mm-hmm. because we're letting them right back out. And it's usually the drug ones, the meth and that.
Right.
And they're violent. And then the meth especially leads to larceny and everything else. So, but no, the governor vetoed that, and he should have. And then the next one was LB 1089. That was another one of Vargas's bill that came out of my committee. I tried to stop it in committee, but a couple of my so-called conservative friends on the committee traded votes with him and brought it to the floor. And that was a direct attack on parental rights and a kid's right to graduate from school. His bill said that every student, not the parents, every student had to fill out the FAFSA, the Federal Aid.
Right. We talked about that one a week or so ago.
Yeah. And anyway, he said that they had to take that home to their parents, and they had to fill it out before they could graduate from school. Well, It's a voluntary federal program. We were going to make it mandatory. And then he did make it better and said that the parents should, they had an option to opt out. They could fill a form out and opt out. Well, why should you have to opt out to a federal program for state education?
I mean, that's not mandatory, yeah.
Yeah, it's mandatory, basically. You got to fill out one or the other, FAFSA or the opt-out form.
Under his bill.
Under his bill.
Right.
But, yeah, the FAFSA, the federal bill, isn't mandatory.
It's, right.
And I believe the system works. The community colleges, the colleges didn't come screaming in, and they didn't even testify for it that was good. They know what students they want, and they know what students if they come into their school, they help them make sure they fill out that FAFSA form. So anyway, he vetoed that one too. It's just big government. And then the last one was LB 1060, Senator Kavanaugh's. Bill that hair texture and hairstyle and protective hairstyles you couldn't fire them if an individual claimed that their hair, the reason they wore their hair the way they did, hair texture, we can't control that as a human being, that's genetic, and that's already covered under racial protections, race and protections for jobs. But the hairstyles was the thing, and I asked her on the floor, I said, how long does culture got to go back? If a new style comes out 10 years ago, is that protected? Because now it's considered a racial hairstyle. But it was just a bad bill.
I have a question for her. I wish we'd have known. You know, if you shave your head, does that make you a skinhead?
I don't know. It's racist? Culture. It's culture.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can go
so
back.
Where's she going to go with that one?
But if you're naturally bald because of your genetics, you can't be fired now because that's just, But it was just an attack. It was just another in-your-face bill. You know, it was all about the hair braiding that goes on. And the reality is a lot of restaurants told their help they had to cut their hair, or they had to wear a net, hair net, or they had to...
keep their hair tight and clean
and
for clean sanitation.
And you spend 3 days in a chair getting your hair braided, you don't want to wash it. So things like that. But it was an awful bill, and that's handled already by employers. If you're a good employee, they're going to work with you to get things done. But no, so he vetoed that. So he did a really good job of vetoing this year. Mm-hmm. I just wish we could get some conservative senators to understand you just don't vote for some of this stuff. But they want to be nice. You crammed in there together, 49 of you, and you want to be nice. You want to get your bill passed, so you vote for some of these, and it keeps piling on and piling on, and it takes away our rights and our civilization, and it just, it's awful. But he did a good job of vetoing this year, the governor
good.
Did.
Now, with the adjournment of the session, Senator Groney, several of your colleagues are termed out, including Speaker Jim Scheer being a big headline senator terming out, Senator Chambers as well terming out, and it may possibly be the end of the road for Senator Chambers. So big changes in the legislature when we do re-adjourn, because there's going to be, is it six different or six new faces on the legislative floor?
And that's, you know, that's a small amount.
Yeah, all things considered.
Yeah, because he started with a class of 13, and seven of them went either retired, ran for other offices, or got smart and quit. But anyway,
and these are all Eastern Nebraska senators too, I think, for the most part. Couple
five
of
the six are liberals, very very liberal.
Sure,
so that's a good
and Sue, thing. Including Sue Crawford.
She's very
and,
liberal.
Yep.
So is Howard. So is Chambers. So was, let me think, who else is out?
Kate Bowles.
Kate Bowles is awful. I mean, as far as liberal. I mean, I just don't understand what's going on with our society. It must be public education. But Kate Bowles' dad, I know him, and he is about as conservative as you can get. In fact, we have a bunch of senators down there, young ones, where their parents are very, very conservative, free enterprise, live the American dream, and they went off to a liberal college and came down as AOCs or whatever you call it to Lincoln. But... I guess when your daddy's got a lot of money, you can run as a young person for a $12,000 a year job. But, no, I'm not going to miss any of them. They'll be forgotten, just like the ones that term disappeared 2 years ago. It's mm-hmm. just I don't make friends with those folks. I just work with them. But the good thing is about three to four of those races, it looks like the more moderate but conservative type of person is leading the race so far in the primary, so that's
yeah.
a good thing for my last 2 years.
Well, and those are just the six that are term limited out. There's several up for re-election, including a young senator we've talked about a lot. You've defended on the floor with Julie Slama as well, representing the Peru area.
Oh, and they're after her. She was led pretty well in her primary, but she's a good, solid conservative. She was born
a young conservative.
Very wise for her age. And then Senator Blood... we hope she doesn't come back. That whole ploy I came in late for the final vote on the abortion bill was to make her vote the way she wanted to. Senator Geist and I planned that. You need 33 votes for closure, and she was the 34th. So her liberal friend said, well, you can go ahead and vote for that abortion bill because your vote doesn't matter, and it helped you get reelected in a conservative Catholic area in
mm-hmm.
Sarpy County. So when I was looked like I wasn't going to show up, I put on a good act. I wasn't going to show up. Then I knew how they operate. You know, I've watched them before. They'll throw their own kind under a bus for their religious beliefs. And her vote mattered then.
Mm-hmm.
Because if she voted no, the late-term abortion bill would die. So I was sitting, hiding in my office, snuck in late, and she stood up and gave that awful speech how she hated being a Catholic, and she had changed her mind and voted for it, was going to vote against it, and then the vote started, and I walked in, and you'd think I told somebody to shut up. You ought to heard the thing scream told to me. But anyway, she voted her conscience. She's a pro-abortion Catholic, and then I walked in and provided the 33rd vote. So now her opponent can use that against her. to win, and I hope he does.
So this was you and Senator Geist backing her into a corner, so to speak, then?
We just, me, her and Senator Geist and Lieutenant Governor Foley was sitting in the chair. We're the only three that knew what we were doing, because he had to make sure that the clerk, who's a very liberal individual, if he wasn't sitting in the chair and knew ahead, the clerk would have acted like he didn't see me come in late, and then I wouldn't have got. Because as long as you're on the floor when the vote's still going on, you get a vote.
Even if the voting already started?
Yeah, even if it already started. As long as they haven't called the final vote, you can vote.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it was a little fun. So we got two good things. We got her on the record, honest to her constituents, and we passed a very important anti-abortion bill.
And if folks are out there thinking this strategy that you and Senator Geist put together is, I don't want to say immoral, but I don't know of a better word.
Why would that be immoral?
Well, it's not, but I just want to point out the fact that the others had a plan to make it, try to, I guess, dupe Senator Blood's constituents.
Dupe.
Were going to dupe her constituents.
Yeah,
that's what this their original plan was, make it appear that she was a pro-life senator when she is, in fact, not.
No, and at the end of the day, it was good government, because we mm-hmm. both voted our conscience.
It's good strategy is what it is.
Well,
and
go over and over again what they've done. You know, I go back to my discipline bill, where Senator Klausky was going to vote, give me the 33rd vote, and then they went to him, and because he was term limited out, and the other two that gave me three Democrats, one of them's a very good Democrat, a very good guy, and that's Senator McDonald. He's honest. I call him a Kennedy Democrat, the type that my mother used to vote for. But anyway, but he's solid. Then McAllister and Lathrop had agreed to vote for it too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they weren't term limited out, so they couldn't get them to change their vote, because that's an important issue to a lot of parents
sure.
and families about safety in our public schools and teacher protection and children protection. So they went to Klausky and they tortured him in the corner, and he changed his vote on me, but without telling me. So it's politics, folks, and that's the way it's run. But
mm-hmm.
We followed the rules. You hear it a lot on the floor.
Yep.
Followed the rules. That's what happened, but it was close, but we got her done.
And in the heels of the legislative session, Senator Groney, we heard as well that you're one of the senators that have been appointed to the new Rehabilitation and Treatment Center Special Oversight Committee.
Yes, and that's another fun one. Senator Howard, whose term limited out, was HHS, and that was her bill. Well, let me give you a little history. That's all about the youth detention centers, and they're not detention centers, the homes in Geneva and Kearney, and there's one in Lincoln too. My first term down there, I voted for it. I should have never voted for it, naive, that we changed, we were going to hug these youth criminals, you know, instead of teach them a lesson, send them to jail. So we changed the rules, and now those facilities down there are run by HHS, and they're rehabilitation centers. Only people working there are social workers. So when they, in Kearney, a couple of them got beat up bad, social workers, mm-hmm. when kids escaped in Geneva, the young ladies down there destroyed the place, tore it all apart. No guards, nobody to discipline them, keep them in line. So they now, of course, the left has blamed the governor for everything. It was his fault that what happened in Geneva. Well, it wasn't. He had to follow our laws. But anyway, so Senator Howard started this committee to oversee the youth retention centers. But the way she wrote the bill, because you know I'm a family oriented conservative, they hate me as education chair. They just absolutely hate that a conservative who believes in God is education chair. And so when he wrote the bill, she said, well, the judiciary chairman would be on the commission, and then he would appoint two from the committee, and the HHS committee chair would be on the commission, and then she would appoint two of her committee. But when it came to education, they just said two people from the education committee was on there. They didn't want me on it because the education, you know, it's part of those youth. So then she had the guts, Howard, to send me an email and ask me to appoint two liberals on my education committee to her special committee. And I replied, I wouldn't deem it proper for another chairman of another committee to tell another committee chairman who will be on a commission. Mm-hmm. But that's how arrogant they are. No, instead I appointed myself and Senator Merman, who is a good conservative, law and order type of senator too, and wants these kids, we want these kids to succeed. We want them to learn their lesson, hit rock bottom.
Absolutely. And their success is our success.
Yeah, and then they go on with their lives and appreciate some education. But anyway, so that's how it happened, and then the exec board agreed with me and put Senator Erdman and I on it. They usually don't tell a chairman they're not can't have who they want on a commission, but I want to be there because I want to reintroduce some of the penal part of youth detention, that there's some rules and mm-hmm. there's somebody to answer to, put a little bit of some guards there again to protect people, protect the community.
Bring some law and order back into the system.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, you can be 16, 17 years old and you can still go, and it happens a lot, you go out and harm other people. So for the people of Geneva and for the people of Kearney, they need to be protected.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, no, so I'm on there. And
some good conservative senators on there too. John Lowe from Kearney's on
John
there.
John Lowe's on there because he has a...
Within his,
if you had a detention center in your district, you were automatically on it. Brandt's on there, Lowe and Wishart, I believe, are on there because of that. But if you look at the makeup, it's only about four of us out mm-hmm. of 10 or 11 that believe in law and order and black and white and behavior. So it'll be interesting. But I got a strong voice, and nobody wants me on any committee because I can. Truth actually makes a difference even to them, embarrasses them sometimes. But anyway, it is what it is. So now this forces me to go to Lincoln more again, which I do not want to do, but I just thought I needed to. Somebody in the room needed to defend the governor, and the HHS is trying to do their best, too, to try to fix the problem. Instead of just reading in the paper, it was all the governor's fault. It wasn't. The problems we had in Geneva and Kearney.
Now, Senator Groney, we do need to wrap up, but even though the session has been adjourned, you're still working. We know you have the full-time job, but if there's a constituent out there that has an issue and they want to address you or a member of your office, they can definitely get a hold of you during this somewhat downtime.
Yeah, we get them all the time. We help people. We helped a lot of people during the COVID thing about not getting their unemployment benefits, especially I really worked hard the small businesses.
Mm-hmm.
No fault of their own, you know. They never wanted to apply for any federal aid.
They never wanted to close.
They never wanted to close. They want to keep their business open, and they needed financial help. So we really focused on helping those folks make sure their paperwork was done. But you can email me at mgroney, like whatever
at legislature.ne.gov, I think it is.
Yeah, le.ne.gov. But no, you can do. That's the best way because then I can forward it to my staff who handles that. Some, if I'm really interested and want to learn myself, I'll look into myself. But I approve everything goes out. So, yeah, we help folks. And don't go out and buy a new car because you think you're getting a lot of property tax relief coming. That 1107 was not good for rural Nebraska. I did manage to get a couple of things done in that bill, but we can talk about that next week.
Yeah, we'll dive into that, and we're going to dive into, if you don't mind, Senator Groney, sometime in the next month, we're going to dive into some local issues, too, with you and get your opinion on some hot topics locally.
So yes.
Dive into that with Senator Groney coming up in a few weeks. In the meantime, Mike, thank you again for the time, and we'll see you again next Monday, sir.
Thanks for ending the deal by calling me Mike and not Senator.
Got to change it up every once in a while.
Thank you.
Want to insult you too much within
the
hour.
No.
More coming up on KODY's Mugs in the Morning after a check of news.